be joining us next. Pittsburgh Steelers Director of Football Operations Kevin Colbert is now at the podium.
Good morning, everybody. Not sure whether you're aware of the situation or not, but we did reach an agreement with Casey Hampton. And we also used our franchise tag on Jeff Reed, our kicker. So I'll be happy to answer any and all questions. No, we reached an agreement with Casey and we franchised Jeff Reed. No, we don't talk about the details of the contract. It was very important to our organization to have a player of Casey's caliber signed for what we hope is the rest of his career. Casey's been a big part of our success, and we still think he has a lot of football left in him. Plus, he's really one of our true leaders. And to get this free agency period actually kicked off a couple days early by getting him locked up, it means a lot to the organization. You're looking for the body type, the speed, the athleticism, the mindset. When you take a defensive end and try to convert him into a linebacker, it's really a guess because you haven't seen him do a lot of what he's going to be asked to do. So the combine will be important. It'll be the first step in that evaluation as to determine whether or not that player will be able to make that transition. It'll continue through the spring with more individualized workouts at their school, plus some mental questioning that we'll have to do with them just to see their full awareness of what goes on behind them when they're rushing a passer.
You say body type. It seems like for years everybody was looking for those 6'3", 6'4", guys. But recently a lot of guys have had success, shorter guys.
Yeah, ideally, I think that has changed with the growth of the tackles. As the tackles get taller, they have a little more trouble with the Elvis Dumervilles and the James Harrisons who aren't quite 6'3", because they're great leverage players. So I don't think you ever want to get locked into a prototypical size. We all want that, but you can't shut out a good player just because he might not be 6'3".
Kevin with the...
Go ahead, Jerry.
Can you compare kind of the process of the combine from your eyes and how it's changed over the years? Is this as valuable as it was 20 years ago, 10 years ago? It's in the whole scouting process.
I think the value is remained the same, really, throughout the growth of the thing. What has changed is obviously the exposure, and the exposure is good for the league, but it's also good for the players. The players become very competitive in this environment with all the media attention and our own network broadcasting it. Quite honestly, I was opposed to, when we brought the network in for the exposure, but really, it's been great for the combine and the competition that the players like to work under in this setting. So really, it hasn't changed too much from our, medical examinations, psychological examinations, physical workouts. It's really the growth of the exposure.
Kevin, could you, with the 4,000 passes this year, is the evaluation of defensive backs changed? Is there more emphasis placed on how they're evaluated or the need to get them? Given Troy and Ed Reed, the way they're playing the position now.
Yeah, I don't think you could ever minimize having a great corner or a great safety. Fortunately, we have a great safety in Troy Polamalu. But really, those guys, the league has changed. It has become more of a passing league. But, realistically, it's all going to start up front because if you have a great pass rush, you might be able to get by with a lesser defensive back. So I couldn't minimize any aspect of the defense and trying to combat the change in the offensive philosophies. Yeah, well, I'll avoid answering any questions about an individual player because we could be here all day. And it really goes back to the other question about that type of player. And, you know, again, productive college players that may or may not fit, we don't know. When we, you know, I can't address Lamar Woodley. When we drafted Lamar, Lamar actually had a little bit of linebacker in his background. As a junior at Michigan, some of their defensive sets had him playing on his feet. So you got, he wasn't as much of a stretch as the other guys who play down exclusively.
We have to go into the next season wondering whether Bryce Polamalu will hold up for a 16-game. He's had a history of injuries.
No, we're not concerned about that. Troy is, you know, Troy is a give-it-all type player, and injuries are going to happen. They can happen to any player. Certainly, he is on the road to recovery from the knee injuries, and really, it was a, it was two injuries, but that's going to happen, and we're not going to sit there and worry about Troy not being available because it could happen to any of them.
Yeah, for a while, it seemed like there were teams that were more interested in the draft and trading them down from their higher slot to get more so-called value picks, as opposed to trading up and getting fewer but higher quality picks. What's your philosophy?
We've gone up, we've gone down. And as a general philosophy, if there's a good
Southern Illinois punter Scott Rubenesi is at table six.
If there's a good player available, we want to take him and not trade away from him. If we are going to trade down, we have to make sure that the players, you know, more than one player is available. So if we trade down, we're going to be in a no-lose situation because any of the players we trade away from, we hope that we want to be sure that they would be there if we traded down. If we trade up, which we've done also, you really have to have a good feeling that a player that you have rated high on your board is still there, and what you're going to give up to get that player is going to be worth it, as in the case of Troy, which, you know, over time it's proven to be worth it.
So, what do you think it says about the defensive tackle position? So many of these guys are getting franchised.
Defensive linemen, you know, I can't speak to the other teams that franchise their own players. That's for them to speak to. But in our case, Casey Hampton was the anchor of our defense and has been. Defensive linemen in general are tough to find, especially for a 3-4 defense. This draft, however, there's more defensive linemen than any that I can remember in really 26 years of doing this. Not only the depth, but the quality of that depth as well.
Kevin, ever-changing Browns have changed again. Mike Holmgren in charge of the Browns. What impact on the division do you see from the dynamics of him being in the division?
Well, yeah, again, adding anybody, you know, of Coach Holmgren's caliber to your competition in your own division, it's only going to make it stronger. You know, the AFC North in our eyes is a very competitive, naturally based rivalries that, you know, really brings out hopefully the best in all of us. But really, you bring anybody of that caliber into the mix, it's certainly going to enhance this division. Again, I don't like to comment on individual players because we could be up here for 300 minutes. The most valuable part of a college player's evaluation is what happens from August through December. The All-Star games, the combine, really this is all icing on the cake. You know, they can only help themselves here, but really I always say 90% of that evaluation has already occurred before we get to this point.
Kevin, do you think Lamar Woodley may be an example of that, because he was such a good player in Michigan, he showed so much that tape, do you think it's an example of August to December, like you talked about, is what's most important, and maybe as football personnel, people, you got back off the table also?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in Lamar's case, again, he did it for 4 years, not just three, at the University of Michigan. So he had a real deep body of work that really made his evaluation a lot easier. The more evidence you have that they can do it, the safer that pick's going to be, and he's turned out to be a pretty safe pick for us.
So the advantage for that, how big this defensive line group is, Were you referring to like 3-4 end?
Yeah, well, 3-4 end types. Again, not a lot of the colleges play
right.
a 3-4,
right.
but that 6-4, 6-5 body type, and maybe even 6-3 as Ziggy Hood was last year for us, we have to be able to project that that body type can play in our defense. And I think that, again, I know that this group is deeper than any that I can remember.
And what is the key to making that projection, if you could sum that up?
Again, it's kind of like the undersized defensive ends projecting to a 34 linebacker. You just have to look at their size, their athleticism, their intensity. You don't worry too much about their techniques because for the most part they're going to be broken down from what they're doing in their college schemes to what we're going to ask them to do in our 34 or in anybody's 34. So it's a whole new learning technique. You just got to get, again, the size, the body type, and the mental makeup.
LSU return specialist Kendon Holliday is at podium C. East Carolina punter Matt Dodge is at table 8.
Oh, go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry.
Sorry, with the advent of the spread offense, is it difficult to find a tight end that can come in and help you right away? More so when you first broke into this business, the evolution of it.
Correct. There's many less tight ends and fullback types because of the emphasis of the college and really the high school game on the spread offense. So those guys become
developmental games.
Yeah, you don't really see a lot of that type of athlete. What you are seeing is bigger receivers that may have in the past grown into tight ends, but now you're seeing some 6'3", 220-pound receivers that are, in the past, they may have been moved inside, but now they're staying outside in the spread.
What about Wyman? Does the complexity of your defense make it tougher for a draft pick to come in and have a significant impact?
I'm assuming, you know, our defense is no more complicated than any other in the NFL. I mean, both the offenses and defenses are pretty complex. You know, and sometimes we expect young players to just step in and be impact guys, and that's usually not the case. If it is, it's more the exception than the rule because not only the competition level is stepped up dramatically, but also the learning curve, it takes time. So really, when we get a young player that plays a significant amount of time early, I mean, we think that's a bonus.
Does the impact of some of the smaller rush guys that you're talking about determine how you might evaluate offensive
line? It does because, again, the taller guys are having trouble with the shorter, powerful guys. And it's just a matter of leverage. Not to say that they can't. It's just that, you know, sometimes the shorter 6'3 guys with long arms have more success. You know, Willie Colon for us is just under 6'3, our starting right tackle. So he might be at an advantage against some of those smaller guys.
Will you continue to negotiate with Jeff?
Absolutely. I mean, we've been in contact with Jeff. He's aware of the situation. His agent, Don Henderson, is aware of the situation. And our goal is to lock Jeff up long term, and again, have him finish his career with the Steelers, and he's aware of that. He's aware that sometimes the process gets to this point. We all need to buy some time, and I, you know, as in the case with Casey and his agents Brian Overstreet and Tyron Collins, as long as the player and the agents are willing and want to stay with the team, and the team wants, you're going to get a deal done. And we think it's the same with Jeff Reed. We want to keep Jeff as long as we can.
And talking about wide receivers a little bit, you guys brought in Mike Wallace last year, instant contributor. Is that position grown to where guys can be first-year contributors? It seemed like in the old days it took 2 or 3 years to develop a wide receiver.
As I stated earlier, Mike's development was a pleasant surprise and really a bonus for us. We didn't anticipate that. You know, Mike made great strides quickly and forced his way into the lineup. And, you know, you got to acknowledge what he did really more than anything. And, again, that's more the exception.
Kevin, have you had any recent conversations with Willie Parker's representation about bringing him back?
Yeah, we focused primarily on, you know, what we quote say are our three starters that were free agents. That was Casey and Jeff and Ryan Clark. And, you know, the guys that were more backup spot contributors, we'll see how the rest of the free agency period unfolds.
We anticipate talking to them after
the season. Yeah, again, I don't know what the next steps will be until really after Friday when you see exactly who's out there and what we may do to better our own team.
Kevin, can you talk about the difficulties when you're drafting low, like you guys have done in the past 30, 31, 32? Does it change how you approach the draft, the difficulties involved with it?
No, I mean, you realize that, you know, even if you're picking 32, there's 32 players that could improve our team, and it's up to us to find that right guy. So you have to, you're not doing any less research, because when you develop your draft, you're going to have information on over 400 or 500 players. So you're not zeroing in on 18 as we are where we're picking this year. We have to be prepared, because maybe we won't pick at 18. And then when you're at 32, sometimes you're not going to pick at 32. You might trade up, as we did with Santonio Holmes a few years ago. So you just can't sit there and just think you're going to pick at 32. But even if you are, there's definitely 32 players in every draft that can help any team.
Last question. It's a nice problem to have.
Michigan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think everybody would pick 32. Thank you.